IU's Department of Theater, Drama, and Contemporary Dance presents Julius Caesar in a thought-provoking production set in what director Jenny McKnight calls a time not far from now. Shakespeare's Julius Caesar is based on the account of the lives of the aspiring Caesar, the too loyal Brutus, and the eloquent Mark Antony in Plutarch's Lives. Caesar's returning in triumph over Pompey from Spain, conspirators led by Cassius are envious of his success and fear that he may seek kingship. To bolster their group's reputation, they connive to convince the well-respected Brutus to join them. The conspirators kill Caesar. Brutus eloquently seeks to explain that it was not that he and the others loved Caesar less, but Rome more, and he sways the crowd to their side. Mark Antony, in an even more eloquent speech, with echoes of the phrase honorable men, sways the plebeians back to condemn them. Ryan P. Miller's set design for IU's production of Julius Caesar tells all about director Jenny McKnight's vision for the retelling. The past, the story, and the language have a vote, but the set's images reflect the past and the present. Massive, traditional-looking polished marble pieces dominate the set design, but there's a modern mixed pillar of steel and plastic on the right and a horizontal beam of the same to the left. High in the back, there's a ledge for eloquently commenting shadow choreography on a dramatic red screen. Jennifer Sheshko Wood's costume designs for Caesar and the conspirators have an antique look, but would not be out of place in an episode of Star Trek, and the later costumes for the battle are modern. Andrew Hobson's sound design uses natural sounds, crowd noises, composed sections, and in the final battle scenes, today's two familiar sounds of helicopters and machine gun fire. Keir Loa's writing follows the outlines, highlights the action, and is a frequent partner for Hobson's sounds. Julius Caesar is a bit like Romeo and Juliet. It opens with a bit of comedy. Jordan Crowder's and Thatcher Boyd are a couple of tribunes who remember the plebeians' cheers for Pompey. They berate Jack Stanley, a carpenter, and Nate Carey, a cobbler, for their easy switch in allegiance. Cobbler Carey has a lot of fun with punning responses from his trade that those tribunes just don't get. Megan Dieter plays Julius Caesar. She's effective as an egotistical figure in the first act, and even more so as a silent ghost wandering about to haunt Brutus's dreams and to highlight effects of some scenes. By the way, in Bloomington, the Indiana Shakespeare Festival's Caesar was a woman, and in the most recent IU opera production, he was a man, but he was an alto. Michael Baylor was a doughtily thoughtful Brutus. Shea Warfield Cross was moving as his wife Portia, testifying that if she was not his partner, she was only his whore. Carolyn Stouter was gracefully effective as his aide Lucilia. Justino Brokaw was varied and appropriately conniving as the conspirator Cassius. He was ably abetted by Matthew Waterman as Casca. Tess Cunningham was a smooth talker as Decia, the conspirator who persuades the too confident Caesar to ignore the soothsayer and his own wife and to come to the forum. Nicholas Jenkins eloquently delivered Mark Antony's rabble-rousing honorable men funeral oration. Jenkins, perhaps a bit of overkill, because minutes later men and women of the energized plebeians beat an innocent poet to death just because he happens to share the name of a conspirator. The second act of Julius Caesar finds Cassius and Brutus leading armies against Caesar's heir Octavius, Deb Alex. Arguments between the men are difficult to follow, but bitter about the conduct of the war, and they're barely settled with embraces before the fighting. The battle begins, and tragic miscommunication between the forces leads to the defeat of the conspirators. Both Cassius and Brutus commit suicide to avoid the humiliation of defeat. Tushar Gupta, as Pindarus, wins his freedom by holding a sword for Cassius. Cassius's ally, Titinius, Cole Weston, at the sight of the dead conspirator, joins him in death. Brutus, seeking his own death, finds his men unwilling to hold a sword for him, until he persuades the loyal Lucilia that her loyalty demands it. With the conspirators defeated, dead, or fled, Octavius, Caesar's chosen successor, and Mark Antony are the victors and begin to reassemble Rome. The IU Department of Theater, Drama, and Contemporary Dances, imaginative production of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, plays through January 27th. You can find this review and others at wfiu.org. At the theater for you, I'm George Walker.